Good morning.
Hi.
Good
morning.
Hi.
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 Hello.
Oh.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
They've tied us together today.
Even better. Even better.
So this fantasy film, but it's just so set in reality. You know, what was it like working with Guillermo? And this is very something different that we haven't seen in Hollywood, probably for a long time.
Well, yeah, I think that's what we all dream of in this industry. You know, you get lots of scripts and opportunities, and some are better than others, but sometimes you daydream. I wonder what it'd be like to be in a truly original movie, something that nobody's ever seen before. And I feel like we kind of hit the jackpot here, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your first reaction when you read the script?
Well, I thought it was a lot of fun. You know, despite some of the darker motifs or themes or whatever, ultimately I thought there was a lot of joy in it and a lot of heart in it. And I looked forward to the storyline we had. It reminded me of the kind of sense of humor that's in Dr. Strangelove. And Dr. Strangelove is one of my favorite movies. So I looked forward to getting to work on that.
There's also like this common denominator in the characters about love, and you hear it so much. And it seems like both of your characters, you have a love for it in a scientific way to this creature, and then like your obsession for it in order to get some knowledge out of it. So what was like the relationship with this creature, this monster?
Well, you know, I think Strickland is... he's fallen into that trap that you sometimes see with people in the government or people in authority of enjoying abusing that power. It's hard to rationalize that, but it's certainly not uncommon. It seems to be, even to this day, an epidemic of sorts. Mm-hmm. So I think ultimately it has to do with perhaps people having a certain amount of self-loathing and turning that into this impulse to inflict pain on others because of the pain they're inflicting on themselves, I think. Mm-hmm. That's my stab at it.
I think that
Dmitri Mosenkopf, or Dr. Robert Hofstadler, comes at it from comes at it from a love of biology, and as indeed as a scientist, and also in a very, you know, compassionate place of just another living creature who's something that we've never seen before, and he's brought in for his expertise as a biologist, as a scientist, and he doesn't understand why this guy's been treating it the way he has, and he's trying to get it out of there and perhaps treat it with some kind of compassion so we can learn from it. And he's sort of, you know, I think all he really wants to do is go home, you know. But he's found himself in this situation, and he can't help but be captivated by it. And I think the scientific element and his love for something new can't help but draw him to it, so I think he expresses his love by trying to save it if he can.
How was it acting with this creature? Like, is it difficult because it's a creature and it's all like...
No, Doug makes the creature it would have been difficult if he acted like that.
I did a perfect
if he was just like that would have worked for
him. Yeah.
No, Doug is the creature as much as the suit is the creature. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, no offense to Guillermo or any of the artists involved in the making of the suit, but I get the feeling that Doug could play the creature without any suit on at all. I mean, he is that much of a craftsman himself. So the fact that he gets to wear this exquisite piece of art and combine that with his own abilities, it's as good or if not better an acting partner as you could hope for, really.
Now, the eyes, they were, I'm assuming they were done CGI. But
there
were
different lenses. Really interesting. There was a whole thing with the lenses. Like, some scenes, he put in the full lenses, and some scenes, they'd be transparent, or you could see his eyes. That was between Guillermo and I never really
understood that.
Because on screen, you see the emotions through his eyes. So I was wondering, as actors, did he emote those through his eyes? I mean, could you see that?
Sometimes you could see.
Sometimes you could see. I didn't have a lot of direct contact or eye-to-eye contact with the creature. In my case, it was getting him from point A to point B, or healing his wounds, or helping Eliza, those kinds of things. But, his body language spoke exquisitely.
Yeah, I mean, my character doesn't necessarily... isn't particularly interested in looking into his eyes.
You want to meet him.
Mr. Shannon, you have played many antagonists in the past. Is there one particular shade of evil that you see in this guy? Because for me, he not only kind of represents the wars of humanity, but the wars of men. And we can see his sexuality also being kind of part of the all of the characters, but his character as well, and kind of part of power and sexuality and a male drive in the worst possible sense.
I think I was touching on that a little bit earlier with my first answer, but I don't know. I mean, Strickland's doing his job. It's his job, you know, to do this. The government has asked him to do this. There was a lot of nonsensical, absurd stuff happening during the Cold War era, particularly in terms of the Americans and the Russians trying to one-up one another. You know, often the focus is on the nuclear arms race, but there was a lot of other weird, you know, this essentially makes no sense, you know, that that someone would get some knowledge from this creature and somehow be able to, I don't know, control the world or something. But it's not beyond the realm of what actually happened during this period of time. There are all kinds of surreal missions taking place. So, I mean, in terms of sexuality or whatever, yeah, I mean, I think it's like what I was saying earlier. I think, you know, Guillermo and I talked about the history of the character. Guillermo wrote a kind of a biography of the character, and he... without saying too much about it, he implied at some point that Strickland may have suffered at the hands of someone else in a similar fashion. And unfortunately, when that happens to people, they have a tendency to repay the favor sooner or later. I mean, that's kind of the cycle of the whole thing. This is all pretty much psychology 101. I'm not saying anything super profound. But... you know, when people, we're obviously seeing a lot nowadays, when people find themselves in positions of power where they know that people are frightened or intimidated of them, for some odd reason, they tend to, let's say, 7 times out of 10, take advantage of that fact. If I could explain to you right here, right now, why that happens, I would be deserving several Nobel Prizes, but I don't know why that happens. I don't know any better than any of the rest of you know.
As an actor, do you feel that you have played every role you ever wanted to play, or is there a particular role that you're still waiting to come along?
It's all about surprise. I don't know for Michael, but it's like I said at the outset, you know, like let's say you asked me that question a year ago. My answer to that question would have never been, well, I want to be in a movie where a mute cleaning woman falls in love with a fish man. Like, I wouldn't have ever been able to come up with that. So, but that's the thrill of it, is that you think you've seen it all, and then you get something in the mail that completely blows your mind. And I'm not terribly interested in doing things that I've seen other people do. I think probably most actors feel the same way. You?
There were a number of roles I wanted to play as a young actor that I had seen other people do and moved me somehow, having read them myself. And those experiences were some positive, some negative, but I think Michael hit on something special. There's been nothing like being surprised, honestly. When something comes along and someone says, you're right for this, and they hand you something, and all of a sudden, oh my God, I'm speaking Russian, or, you know, whatever it may be. Because then you hadn't thought about it, and you have no preconceived ideas, and you come in and you start your work in a very fresh, wonderful place. And there's nothing like that, because you feel like also you own it in a different way. And that's important to me more now in my life than it ever has been, to feel like I'm a part of the creative process from the ground up, and that I can own what I do in a way that you're a deeper part of the process. That's all.
What were some of the challenges of becoming your character?
You looking at me?
Both of you.
Oh, okay.
Both of you.
What are some of the challenges?
The Russian, first off, was a huge part of this experience for me. It's where I started. I had to shoot most of my stuff up front, so I had to dig in fast, faster than I would have liked. But I had some wonderful tutors to help me with it. And at the same time, Guillermo and I had sort of found a commonality. When I first met him, we talked, if I remember correctly, about sketching and drawing, which was a huge part of my life as a kid and still a part of my life. I love to draw and paint and create that way, and he encouraged me to do so. So when you see Hofstetler presenting his sketchbook to his Russian boss in the restaurant, in the kitchen of the restaurant. Those are my sketches in the book. So I connected very much with him in that sense, which was really kind of fantastic to get into the head of an observer, specifically in a scientific sort of way, was fascinating. And I don't know. Guillermo created, it's the first time this has ever happened, he gave us each biographies of our characters as well, and, you know, with a number of different options of things that we could utilize if we wanted to. And so I grabbed that and I tried to, and I co-opted it and made it my own, and some of which you get to see on the screen, a lot of which you don't. But Michael mentioned in an earlier interview this sort of sense of just being a part of the experience itself, as opposed to, you know, because in the end it is all pretending. So I guess there was just it's trying to invest from a character's perspective, which is always a challenge, to sort of say, where is he like me, where is he not like me. I found we had some interesting things in common. That was the things that I probably held tightest onto.
Now, was there rehearsal in this movie, or like in your position where you're an intimidating character, do you like to go in cold and play it out, or did you guys do rehearsal?
Well, Guillermo likes to spend lots of time preparing in all departments, but particularly with the actors. He met with all of us individually. And then, you know, I think Sally and Octavia spent a lot of time together, and Sally and Richard, and I think you were around a bit.
With the Russians, we spent a lot of time
together. But he kind of kept me a little bit isolated so that nobody would feel very comfortable around me, I guess. But you know, it's always so interesting to me, because it's for me, it's just playing. It's just playing around, you know. It's like playing around, and people get so this notion of being like intimidated or intimidating or all these things. It's like I don't know where that comes from. Because for me, I'm always just approaching it like a little kid playing in the backyard. But seriously, I mean, but the seriousness isn't in that I want to scare people or anything. It's just wanting to make sure I get every little detail that I can.
For
Guillermo's sake, more than anything.
Mm-hmm. But you don't like the surprise element of surprising your actors sometimes or throwing them off or...
Well, I think we try to help each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really... I don't know why it's so hard, but it's hard. And, you know, the funnest thing is when you just kind of forget that you're at work. And I think we're all trying to help each other do that all the time.
Yeah, that's really the key, is that if we can all together create an environment where we can all do our best work and the crew is, you know, 98% of that, and they have so many difficult things to do in the time that they're given, and then all of a sudden it's like action and it's our time to do what we're there for, so you have to utilize that time together. In some cases it's a very intimate situation, so you just you're doing it together. You're doing it together, and at best you can be proud of something when you all of your energy is directed towards what that is at the moment.
So did you stay in character all the time?
As Michael mentioned, there's focus. And all my energy, I'd like to, while I'm there, put my energy toward what we're doing, you know. I've had the opportunity to work with some remarkable people in my career thus far, and some of the things I've taken from them is that kind of energy, whereas using the time you have, of which there is a lot on the day while you're there, in some cases, 12, 14, 15, whatever hours, and you have to go away and come back. Sometimes that's the way I, you know, you step out, you come back in. But to come in with ideas and to observe what's happening in the moment and follow that. I mean, that's one of the brilliances of what Michael does, and I love to watch what he does, is this, you never know what he's going to do next. I love that. I love that. And that's probably why he makes me laugh so much, is because it's just, you know, but he's always thinking as well, which I admired so much, between watching him and Guillermo just discuss what a moment is about. Michael, you should direct things. Because, you know, he knows the camera. He knows everything about everything, and in some cases it was different from what Guillermo wanted, and they'd talk about it. And he also touched upon something else which I found interesting, which was he doesn't want to regret, you know, when he goes home that night, something he could have thought about on the day, or, you know, oh, I should have done this thing. So part of the race on our part is to think as thoroughly about what we're going to do so that we don't have regrets about it the next day.
What are all the options or the possibilities? So it's not so much that you're staying in character, because you could sit there and just say, I'm in character, but you could be thinking about something that happened to you 20 years ago, and that wouldn't necessarily be very helpful to the scene you're doing right now. The focus is on the moment, being in the moment, being present, paying attention, and making sure that you're not taking anything for granted. Because it's storytelling. You're telling a story. It's like, I don't like the kind of acting that's all focused on the self, or the character at the expense of what's going on around you. It's like, it's all of a piece, you know.
If you're meant to speak as well in a particular dialect, for instance, it sometimes can be helpful to continue to use that dialect while the camera's off and you're just sort of, so
that's
that
true.
It doesn't go away. So some people might say that's staying in character.
But that's a more technical thing.
Yeah, it's a more technical thing. Staying in a rhythm. Sometimes it's hard to let it go, too, if you've been practicing something for a long time.
Have you both seen the finished work?
Mm-hmm.
What did you think the first time you saw it?
Amongst
friends?
No. It's, I'm not like I'm just
the Shape of Water is a hit.
Yeah.
4 stars, says Michael Shannon. Michael Stuhlbarg says an instant classic.
Perfect.
Well, speaking of comedy, I was going to say, what's your next comedy? But you actually were in a comedy last year with Seth Rogen. And you were pretty funny in it.
The night before, yeah.
Yeah, do you want to do a lot more comedy since we always get to see you in these serious, intense roles?
I hate to say it, but I think I said earlier in this conversation, I actually see quite a bit of comedy in this movie. I think there's a lot of funny stuff that happens in this movie. Same thing with like a lot of stuff that I've done. That at first glance can be categorized as intense or whatever. Like with Boardwalk Empire, there was a lot of comedy with Van Alden, with Revolutionary Road. You know, it's the I don't know what the word comedy means, I guess, necessarily, because I see a lot of movies that are supposed to be comedies that are not funny at all. So for me, I find the comedy in whatever is happening at the present point in time, usually.
Well, I guess I mean outrageous, though.
Last question, thank you.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what it would be. Would it be The Hangover 4? Would it be, I don't know. Would it be, a modern version of the Philadelphia Story? Or would it be, should I remake Blazing Saddles? I don't know. I just don't know what it would be. If somebody, you know, I thought the night before, I thought their character was funny, mm-hmm. so I did it. If somebody gave me something I thought was funny, I just like good writing. I mean, I'm a simpleton. I don't have an agenda. I don't care. I just, if someone hands me a script and it's good and I have the time, I'll probably do it, as long as they pay me a shitload of money.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure.